Since this is Pride Weekend, in lieu of a traditional sermon, which we would normally, which I would normally do in this time slot, we're going to do something different today. We want to share with you a panel discussion that will deepen our awareness and our understanding of the life experience of transgender and gender diverse people. Now, some of you may be wondering, Jeff, why on a Sunday morning in church would we be talking about a social, cultural, political issue? Shouldn't we on Sundays stay focused on spiritual matters? My answer to that would be that what we're about to talk about goes to the very core of what it means to be a spiritual person. You heard the scripture passage that was just read a moment ago, where Jesus identified in Matthew 22 the two most important foundational concepts for being a follower of Jesus, a genuinely spiritual person. Number one, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Number two, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. If I love somebody, I want to listen to them. In fact, someone once said that love and listening are so intertwined, it's hard to tell the difference between them. If I love someone, I want to hear their story, especially if that person's life experiences differ from mine, because I want to know who they are and how they've become who they are and what their life is like. If I have a neighbor who is an immigrant, I want to hear their story. Where'd you grow up? What was it like? How has your experience here been? If I have a neighbor who's a person of color, I want to know how race and racism has affected their life experience and made their life experience different from my own. And if my neighbor is transgender, I want to know, tell me your story. Because how can you love somebody if you haven't heard them and you don't understand their life experience? Last Sunday, we studied what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25. And you'll recall that there Jesus said, whatever you do to the least regarded person among you, you've done it unto me. And then he goes on in that passage and he gives us several examples of what it means to put that principle in action. And in Matthew 25, 35, Jesus says, one of the examples is, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. A stranger is defined as someone who is perceived as different, someone who's unknown to a particular person or group of people. When we encounter those that we perceive as different, often as human beings, our first tendency is to be afraid. And fear can easily lead to hate and an attitude that says, we don't need your kind around here. But Jesus said his followers should be different. We who follow Jesus are called to be on the forefront of welcoming those who are different. And in the very process of doing that, we are welcoming Jesus because that's how emotionally closely Jesus identifies with those who are perceived as different. So today, instead of just listening to God's word, we're going to practice God's word, active discipleship. We're going to practice what Jesus preached. We're going to welcome those who are often perceived as different in our culture, by loving them and listening to their stories so that we can love and welcome them better. And that will make Jesus smile, I think. Amen? Amen. Amen. So today we're going to hear some stories from some of our transgender neighbors who also happen to be beloved members of our church family. Aaron Hayes serves on our church's board of directors and has her own Oasis Group fan club here today. Aaron also is our church treasurer. Gina West is relatively new to our congregation, but is already part of our church's transgender justice team. Amy Townsend, you know, every Sunday, helps us with our worship, playing the bass guitar. By the way, all of these folks are members of our transgender justice team. And Karen Steiner is the mother of a transgender child, and she is the lead on our trans justice team. We have three key objectives for today. They are, one, to move from mere tolerance to fully embracing and supporting the trans community. It's one thing to say, you can come to our church if you want. And it's another thing to really offer a warm welcome. Amen. That's what we're going for. That's what Jesus expects. Two, to grow the inclusivity that trans people experience here at Life Journey and in the wider community. And number three, to empower each of us to be better advocates for those who are gender diverse and transgender. So, with that as background, I want to walk us through some questions that this team of folks have put together to help us better understand their life experience. Gina, if you would begin by responding to this first question, and then I'll ask Amy and Aaron to also respond to this first one. Tell us how you came to the realization that you're transgender and how that went.
Thank you, Jeff, and good morning, church. Morning. And I promised everybody here I'd be on my best behavior, so I'm trying. But I look at everybody else, and they have notes. So what do I have to do? I have to start with a joke. So I heard a story one time about a mother who had two twin sons. Of course, you don't have two twin sons if you're twins. But they went to church with her all the way up till they were 12 years old. And at 12 years old, they said, "We're staying home with Dad." So they didn't go to church. Their mom was heavy-hearted. She went to church. She talked to the preacher. The preacher said, "Just tell them to come in. I want to talk to them. I'll solve all your problems." So she went home, told her sons. The first one said, "I'm not going back. I don't care. I don't trust him. I'm not going in front of that preacher." The second one said, "I'm not scared of him. I'll go back. I'll talk with him." So the second one went back. The preacher called him back in the office and said, "Son, I only have one question today. Where's God?" The boy looked at him, and the preacher said, "Answer me, son, where's God?" Kid got up, ran all the way home. His dad and his brother said, "What happened?" He said, "You won't believe it. God's not at that church, and they think we stole him." So all I'm saying today, don't read between the lines of what we're saying. Just listen to what we're saying, and hopefully we'll be able to share our story. But for me, I started out very young. As a 9-year-old, knowing my body and my brain were not really connecting, but not figuring out why. But being raised in a very, very conservative family, I was taught to be as macho as I could. So I grew up playing football, baseball, excelling in sports. Even to prove that I was not feminine, I became a bull rider. And so I really went over the top in proving that I was all man. And then when I got married and had children, I was still very comfortable in thinking maybe I just was a cross-dresser. I don't know what's going on. But then I went to a conference, and at about 20-some years old, I realized at that time that I needed and I had to express to the world who I was. And being trans is a little different than a lot of people because all of a sudden you're wearing something that doesn't always go with your gender. So I learned to adjust, but I learned what made me comfortable. And now I'll turn it over to all the people who have notes. They probably have better memories than me.
Well, like Tina said, you know, I knew from a very, very early age that I was different. And, you know, trying to understand boys and their weird competitiveness and all that stuff, mm-hmm. I still don't get it. But, you know, you have to play along with it. And I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't have a name for it. I was born in 63, so, you know, nobody was really talking about this. So it really was not until I was 50 that I actually realized what was going on. And when I embraced it, it was like a religious experience of all this tension which had been building up in my mind all my life suddenly just released. And I became so much happier from that moment on. I still have a lot of tension in me, but it's different. I feel like I know myself in a way that I never did before. And it turned my life around. It really did.
And for me, it took me a while to realize I was non-binary. I grew up in a small town, and when I was really young, I started exhibiting some masculine behavior, but by the time I was in school, I already knew what gender norms were, and that I was expected to conform to them. And so that's what I did all through school, from elementary, middle, high school, and then in high school, when I started figuring out my sexuality, I started researching, what's this T in LGBT? And then from there, once I went to college, I was able to start kind of breaking down those gender norms and figuring out my gender identity and realized that I didn't really fit neatly into either masculine or feminine box. I was somewhere in the middle. And so that's when I kind of realized that I was non-binary and changed my names and started using they, them pronouns.
Karen, how was it for you when your child came out to you as trans? And how did you respond to that? What did you do to support your child in that process?
Thanks. So my youngest, Ash, she's 21, and she came out to me as gay when she was in seventh grade. And fortunately, she was in a school that was in a school system that was very supportive. When she went to high school, her principal actually did a drag show every year, and the principal was in the drag show, and the teachers, and the students. So it was, fortunately for her, a very...
Where did she go to high school?
She went to Shortridge High School.
Okay.
So if you know anybody, or you have a child that needs a supportive environment, that's a really good school. The pandemic hit, she was doing schooling at home, and, you know, a lot of social justice issues really started coming even more to the forefront. And so the time when she kind of sorted it out and told me was the day she got her acceptance to college, and she got a wonderful scholarship to Ball State that pretty much took care of the schooling costs. But her grandparents, her paternal grandparents, had been very generous and gave her, they had put aside money too for her for schooling. Well, her father was in control of that money, and her father's not supportive. And so when she got that scholarship is when she felt safe. She could tell to come out because she didn't have to worry then about the money being controlled by her father. So, you know, that was really painful. But I'm really proud of her that she came out. It was scary for me as a parent. You know, you want to keep your kids safe. And this is not a safe world right now for transgender people. In fact, when she came out, there had been a trans woman who had been killed on the east side, right around that time. I was also really honored that she could tell me And my husband, then fiance, she was able to tell him also. We were able to have some really good conversations. And I meant to add, also Ash gave me permission to share all of this. So the ways just to support her was just to listen, just to know, to get to understand her better. And one of the things she said was, I had wondered for years if I was transgender, because I wasn't aware she was going through this. And she goes, for years I had wondered, and she goes, it dawned on me when she realized that everybody else doesn't, or not everybody, but that's not a question for everybody. And so fortunately, her best friend also is transgender, and they both kind of processed this together and came out within 6 months of each other. I asked Ash if there's anything she wanted me to share on her behalf today. And what she said is she really appreciates that she's in a family where, and family and friends that love and support her. And she's glad that she can have that. She said she does not have love for this country. She is very worried where things are going. And in fact, and this really ticks me off as a parent, but she goes to Ball State. She'll be going her senior. She's getting the heck out of Indiana when she graduates. And I want what's best for her, but I want her here. So that's one of the reasons why I do this. This is, you know, why we have this panel and why we advocate, so that everybody can feel safe in this state.
Yeah. Gina, what advice would you have for us for how we as adults should talk to children about gender identity?
And this question was brought to me by a parent of a transgender girl at this church. And I thought about it, and I have to remember what the scripture says. We have to look at this in reverse. Except you become as a child. And when I thought about that, children do not really have any prejudice. They're just them. And my experiences have been smiling, being nice with children, talking with them, telling them how cute they are, different things. They just bubble up and become very friendly. So I think sometimes it's maybe the parents or the grandparents who are influencing children and begin to think about how they want their child to think. And when that happens, they forget the whole message from the Lord, and they said, this is how it has to be. So I think that we have to let children, or learn from children, to accept somebody. If they're gonna be nice, you accept them. That's how I feel about it.
Hmm. That's an interesting point you made about the family dynamics, because I know someone who's a parent of a non-binary child, and their grandparents don't accept. And so that's just this ongoing problem. Now, as we go forward in generations, you know, I think people become more accepting. But, you know, we do have to lay that foundation.
One of the things when Ash came out to me is I asked her, what could I have done differently or could have done better to help you feel supported as a transgender individual? And she said, I wish things weren't so gendered, like the toys, the clothes, even our language, you know, that boy, that girl, that, you know, the boy cat, the girl cat, you know, just identifying as an individual, that person, you know, having, I have an older daughter, so I had boy toys and girl toys, and in fact, my oldest daughter actually prefers boy toys, or you know, more masculine. But I wish, and I think, I mean, this is good for all of us to keep in mind, is when I, you know, like even when I meet somebody's baby, I, you know, we often are, is that a boy? Is that a girl? And just, you know, ask the child's name, or just, you know, how the child's doing.
So suppose a 7-year-old ask you, suppose a 7-year-old has an aunt or an uncle who are transitioning, and they ask you about that as they try to understand that process of transition. What would you say to a 7-year-old?
And I think that's very important. I just came back from a cruise where there was 12 transgender people there and 5,000 people total. And there was several kids on the cruise. And so as we begin to walk around, just be friendly, smile and do things and interact with people, one child said to one of our group, "I think that's a guy." And they stopped him and said, "I was." So I think honesty is probably the best thing, is just to be honest with a child. You don't have to explain a lot of stuff. They'll figure it out. In a little bit of time, they'll figure it out. They'll accept however they want to accept it. Being the parent of two children who are now grown, I have found that adult people seem to worry about how people will read them. If they accept us, they're going to look bad. If they be kind to us, they're going to be something all of a sudden ridiculed. But my son probably said it the best when he told me, he said, "Everybody alive has a closet with a skeleton in it. And everybody closes that door and does not want to open it up. But you've chose to allow your door to be open. And then people have to decide what they want to do with it." So a lot of people are more worried about, if I show acceptance, especially adults, then what's going to happen? So I think we have to be really honest with children and just let them decide for themselves.
I always think of the story of where a child asks, "Where did the baby come from?" And then the parent gives this long, drawn-out explanation, and the child really just literally wants to know, "How did this baby get to our house?" And so starting out where that child's at, you know, just giving some simple answers, listening to their questions, and of course, always telling them, you know, it's important to tell them to support and just listen where a person's at.
So would a good answer to a 7-year-old who wants to know about a friend or a aunt or uncle who's transitioning, would a good answer, a possible beginning place, be to say, "Some people feel more like boys, some people feel more like girls, some people feel like some of both, and this person happens to feel like fill in the blank." Is that on target?
I usually just go with, just accept what you see. So for me, because I still have to sometimes appear male at work. So they will ask me at work, "How do I gender you?" Because they know everything about me. And I say, just, what do you see? What you see is who I am.
Karen, how can we who are not trans be good allies to the transgender and gender diverse community?
I think us, you know, the flags, the signs, the pins, just like Erin is wearing their pin. I think also addressing any derogatory statements anybody makes. I mean, that's with any ism, you know, to right away address that, to say, I am an ally, that I do support people that are transgender. And also to make your social circle diverse enough that you know transgender people, or you know, parents of transgender children, or both, and so that you're not closed off.
Amy, you have any thoughts on that?
Well, from my experience, you know, I love coming into this church because I never feel any threats or feel any weird. But when I go out into the real world, it's at least 60 to 70% of people just will not look at me or acknowledge me. I have one neighbor right now that won't look at me. I used, my previous place, I had both neighbors that would not look at me or talk to me. And that's a, it's kind of discouraging feeling. But when I come here, it's just, it's much better. I think that people just have to get used to this. You know, we're kind of pushing a big change, but it's something which needs to happen. It's part of Jesus' covenant that we release these kind of tensions that are holding us back. I happen to have the opinion that the reason why the rainbow, you know, we have this rainbow flag thing, that's like the sign of the covenant. And to me, that's like all these LGBT people who are like just finally standing up. We've been there all along, but now we're standing up, and that's going to help improve, get us closer to that second covenant. I'm very excited about what's going on. I'm very optimistic about it. I love the fact that there are schools where, you know, where when my kids went to school, they had, it was inclusive. My school was not like that. It was not anything like that. It's important that we have those environments for people and for kids and for adults to see that there's no danger. We're not a threat. We're really kind people, most of us. I mean, Gina is a little, but mostly, I mean.
But I try to be.
Aaron, sometimes I and others accidentally use the wrong name or pronoun for a trans or gender diverse person. When we make that mistake, what should we do?
I think it's important to kind of realize it's gonna happen. Like, we're not perfect people. And when you do make a mistake, I think it's important to recognize it and say, oh, sorry, I mean blank name or pronoun, and then move on with the conversation. Or if you notice it after the fact, send them a message privately and just apologize and then move forward. I think sometimes it's easy to feel like you need to like overly apologize and I'm so bad for making this mistake and things like that. But that turns the conversation around where the misgendered person has to comfort you and it can feel awkward because you're just like, thanks for recognizing my name, but like, let's move on with the conversation. So I think just realize that and just apologize and move on.
That's a really great insight, because obviously during a board meeting recently, I used the wrong pronoun for Aaron, and afterward, they came up to me and just very graciously and kindly said, I just want to remind you that my pronouns are they, them. And I had that impulse to want to just apologize all over myself, you know, because you feel bad. So I said, that won't happen again. But how do we make that not happen again? For me, what I found is when someone transitions and I've been used to a different pronoun, is the only thing that will change in my brain is practice. Even when that person's not around, to just start practicing that person's pronouns can help us make that shift.
If I could add a joke we had in our house when Ash first transitioned was having a dollar jar that every time using the wrong pronoun, there went a dollar.
I kind of like that idea. We're going to put a jar back, and we're going to raise a lot of money. Amy, right now, at this point in time, how can we best advocate for the rights of transgender and gender diverse people?
Well, as we talk about rights and legal rights, we have to get into the political situation that's going on right now. And you know, we've formed this committee to kind of provide a Jesus-based voice against the legislation which is being passed by right-wing politicians. It's terrible stuff. You know, you were telling me about that school, you know, that Ash went to, and I think of the school that my sons went to. There are a lot of people who they were really focused on taking all that away. And going back to what I went to school with, which was, I won't use the word, it was not good. So, you know, we really need to be aware that this is going on. It is very important that you understand, this following bit I'm going to tell you about here just a little bit. There is something called Project 2025. I don't know if anybody's heard of this, but I think you need to pay attention to it. This is a couple of quotes from an article written by a professor who's looked into this extensively. Over the past few months, detailed plans have emerged on the right for what they plan to do upon getting back to power. Now, literally, what we're talking about is a Republican president at this particular moment. Our church has this affirmation poem. I love every part of that, including the one that says conservative and liberal here. We all got to give a little here. I embrace that so much. But this is a question of whether taking away, they want to take away our rights to just basically be. If this Project 25, it's a huge organization. They plan to execute what amounts to a comprehensive authoritarian takeover of American government. Broadly speaking, it envisions a vast expansion of presidential power over the executive branch. If this were to come to pass, we would all be affected by this. We would all have to deal with this. Now, it's a political situation. We're not here to talk about politics, but I think it's important that we understand this election is very important. You've heard President Biden talk about it. He's not kidding. He's a very kind of a middle-of-the-road person in a lot of ways, but he knows what's going on. So just be aware. Know what's going on is my encouragement to you.
And if I can add also, for us to look even locally with our state, that we have next year a long legislative session, and there's bound to be a lot of bills being put out that are anti-trans. So it's really important, and this is one of the things our committee is going to work on, voter registration, make sure to vote. We will keep on working on, as we learn, we'll educate the congregation too on what's going on, but we also really need to look locally.
And I want to make clear to any who are guests here today, this is a church where the affirmation poem Amy referred to, we really take seriously. In Jesus' community, in Jesus' original circle of disciples, he had Matthew the tax collector, who was the equivalent of a conservative politically, and he had Judas the Zealot, Simon the Zealot, who was the equivalent of a political radical leftist in Jesus' day. And somehow Jesus brought them together. So it's not about politics, it's about principle. And we can all agree that whatever one's political party, they shouldn't be persecuting our beloved family. Right, and we need to be aware of that. I'd like to ask each of you to share briefly, if you're comfortable, how coming out and embracing authentically who you are has affected your relationship with God.
And so for me, being raised in a very strict family belief, I gave up on God because I didn't deserve it anymore. But after I came to this church and became part of this family, who is my chosen family, all of a sudden I got my faith back. Amen. So what you're doing as a crowd helps us tremendously, so please don't stop.
For me, it helped me kind of realize how inclusive God is, just like how there's no one way to be a man or one way to be a woman, and we're all able to still reflect the image of God out into the world. Me being non-binary and kind of a mix of both, I'm still able to reflect God's image into the world.
Remember what Genesis 1 and 2 say. God created male and female. In God's image, they were created male and female.
Male and female, not male or female.
Yeah. So the full range of the gender spectrum exists in God, and that's a beautiful thing, right?
Can I just add, for me, I used to, my relationship with God was cursing all the time because I felt like I was damned.
Cursing God,
yeah,
or
cursing God
or other people.
Everything that happened, you know, I said GD a lot,
yeah.
And it was deep. It was hateful, and you know, but God has forgiven me that, I feel like, and now I just bless God and ask God for help instead of cursing if something is hard, and it's made my life so much better.
How has your daughter's journey affected your faith?
It's been such a blessing to find this church that you know, even before she came out, I was looking for a church. And her coming out and knowing that there's actually a place that it's okay that she can be who she is and that I can be her parent as I want to be, it makes me feel safe.
This has been a great conversation, and to keep the conversation going, I want you to know that in the month of July, after worship services on July the 14th at 12:30 p.m., we invite all who can to participate in a one-hour educational workshop called Transgender and Gender Diverse 101 that Emma Vosicki will be leading. Emma is the executive director of Gender Nexus, a local agency that supports gender diverse people and advocates for their rights. So that'll be another opportunity to deepen our understanding of what is probably the most persecuted minority in the United States at this moment in time. Also, on page 3 of your Sunday headlines are some additional resources. Be sure to note those. For those who are participating online today, you can find the Sunday headlines at lifejourney.church links. And so I just want to express my gratitude to you all for sharing so freely and so bravely. And I want to express my gratitude to everyone for being the kind of congregation that wants to learn and grow and be better advocates for our transgender neighbors. I think what we did today made Jesus smile, and let's keep making Jesus smile. Let's live the gospel, Amen. Not just talk Amen. The gospel.